Okay. Boy, Spotlight does a weird thing sometimes. When I open Spotlight and I type MOV, I only ever want one thing in that particular place, a la Quicksilver. MOV should only ever mean one thing for me, which is open the Ecamm Movie Tools app, right? That lets me do stuff with my Skype call that just got recorded.
Okay.
But then this thing happens. So I bring it up. I type MOV. Okay, it worked that. Nope. There. So MOV for a second or for 2 seconds, Ecamm Movie Tools is the selection. If I wait for just even like a little bit, it unselects from Ecamm Movie Tools and I now get a Safari bookmark to Fandango. Is that a well-reported bug? So I go, I type in, there's this thing it should know that I always want. If I don't select it immediately, it changes its mind. And instead, the top hit becomes this Fandango.
Oh, you know what? I've seen that. Now that I'm imagining this, I have run into that. Not with that app, but like with...
Where it changes, like it comes up with
Photoshop,
a top hit.
Photoshop. If you start typing Photoshop, it'll start... is Photoshop, and then it'll switch to photos after I've already gone past it.
I've had one where I just typed photos, and that's the top hit right now. That one worked. I got an app I like.
Oh, yeah?
I don't love it, but it's, you know, sometimes there are those little... was still in need for a utility that you can't believe is not in the software, but it's kind of a godsend. Duplicate Annihilator, have you ever used that?
I think...
It's used to be for iPhoto, now for photos. And you can...
I've used the iPhoto one. I haven't used it in a while.
On the most... The basic, like, sort of safest way to do this is you say, go through and find everything. Find photos that are... I'm not going to use a technical term here, but like are programmatically identical. Like if they are literally identical, like pixel for pixel, date for date, you know, go find exact duplicates. It doesn't mean you're going to get all of them, but go find every photo that appears to be a duplicate and then add the word duplicate to the comments, right? And then you go into photos and you just search for the word duplicate and you can find all your duplicate photos. You can also go in and do lots of more nuanced stuff, but man, something happened with my photo sync and I suddenly was getting... like 50 copies of like photo booths thing, things that we had done on the laptop, like out of nowhere, suddenly I had like, you know, all these duplicates and that was really helpful. Very it's not nice. In the show, not in the show. Show. Did you have a title you like?
Let me see. I have a couple of them here. I like.
Oh, listener Brock wrote, and I forgot to mention, Little Great Ball, Urgency of Important, I'll breed it out. Like Wrecking of Crush. Ooh.
I like that. Let's do that.
Wrecking a Crush.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a GPV song. Take off the A. And Control Option U. Title case. Whoo! Everything's coming up Milhouse.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of balls in the air.
Mm.
Did you watch Westworld?
Yes, I did.
I know. Same in our house. The two adults in the house were like, yes. It was good.
I mean, there were things about it that I really liked.
Don't spoil it for anybody.
Oh, no, I'm not going to spoil it. There were things about it that I really liked, but I have found that in my current days, I'm okay if there's a lot of violence, but I feel like there has to be... the violence has to be meaningful in some way.
It has to be like essential to the story and the characters.
Right, exactly. Very, very well said. And
you know what I mean? Like, it can't just be like for effect. It has to be like that. The use of that is so much more effective if it's driving the story and telling us something important about the characters.
When I was in my 20s, I just wanted to see people getting their heads chopped off, everyone getting killed and explosions. And that was fun. And now I'm like, okay, but how did that help me understand this character's motivation? It didn't. So I felt like there was more violence than was necessary for the reward or payback that we got from seeing the violence, if that makes any sense.
It does. I'm going to watch it again. I was talking about it with John after the show last night, and he made a really good point, though, that, you know, say what you will about it, they were pretty good at doing a lot of stage setting in the first episode that a lot of lesser shows might have done over like 3 to 6 episodes. You know what I mean? They did a lot of world building,
yeah,
and kind of putting a bunch of pieces on the table. I'm going to watch it again and I'm going to stick with it because a lot of people I like and respect like it a lot. It didn't, I kept thinking, I think, I kind of feel like Ex Machina and especially Humans, it feels like they already kind of did this better. Humans was so good.
I think you're completely right. I thought about Humans the whole time that I saw this. And one of, and again, I don't think I'm spoiling anything when I say this, but we already know the premise of the show. So I think it's okay for me to say if there's a,
if you're listening to the stream right now and you're very spoiler averse to Westworld, stop listening now.
Yeah, but that's fine. If they have these androids that are so realistic,
they're like replicants. They're literally indistinguishable
from human beings. And it, right. they make it clear how they're, maybe they don't possess all of the same sort of gestures or movements, and they're improving that. But if you can get what is, for all intents and purposes, a perfectly working human being-ish person that you can interact with, that thinks, talks, laughs, gets jokes, can fight, can have sex, do everything. The real world outside of this Westworld park has got to be a remarkably different place. The only glimpse we get of that is Anthony Hopkins, who's saying, and this was in the preview, is like, we've cured all the diseases.
Right.
We've, you know, made that we're not, you know, so you get the idea that it's most likely like an almost utopian society out there in the real world. But you would almost imagine that androids, they're not going through the problem that they were going through in the Humans TV series, where how do we integrate these very realistic beings into our lives? No, that we're way past that point.
Yes.
But what's the real world like? And honestly, like, why are there human beings even working in any part of Westworld if you have androids that are, you know, what are they spray painting horses for? What do you, you know, what's your job? Right. Why spray paint horses in Westworld? They would, when they have an android spray painting the horses?
That's a really good point.
You know, like, yeah. Why would there be any people, except one or two at the very, very top, operating even the park itself? I want to know what the real world is like. I don't care about Westworld. Show me the real world.
That's exactly what Syracuse said. Like that they dropped that in. It's like, well, they buried the lead. Tell me more about this world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to stick with it. Sticking with it.
Well, I'm gonna have to get more than seeing 50 androids getting gruesomely shot through the eye to come back to this show.
I will join the chorus of many other people in the world right now to say I could do with a lot less unnecessary sexual violence in my entertainment. Yeah. It's really, it used to be something I just went, whatever, that's part of making movies. You got to have some girl get raped. That's just how we tell stories. And it has really started to bug me. It took a while for me to really wake up to that, but it is really gross. And as a plot device, but aren't you interested in Ed Harris? Like, what's his deal? Syracuse thinks he's basically a gamer. That basically he's like, you know what I mean? He's like a guy who's like person who's, I think it's industrial espionage.
Oh, interesting theory. I hadn't thought about that. No, I was under the impression that he's that guy who has played the game many, many times and is now, he's on that quest to find
like the fastest run or
he wants to do the fastest run, or he wants to find the secret level. He's essentially a hacker who is trying to see every detail about the game and what it can do and where he can push it. And if there's that secret level, he's going to find it. And if he can like hack the game and get in control of the game from within, like that's where I feel like he's doing, but he's doing it in essentially the real world.
What was the name of that character who was it Francis Walcott? Remember on Deadwood, there was that actor who played two important characters, but in the season 2, I want to say he's the guy who works for his Hearst's main guy in Deadwood.
He played two different roles in Deadwood.
Yeah, he's the guy who shot.
Like he was the same actor playing two different roles. And they
brought
him back.
Yeah, yeah. He's in episode 1. He's the guy who keeps provoking, Wild Bill.
Yeah,
and then he's Francis Walcott later, Garrett Dillahunt. He was also in Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
I remember him.
Yeah, just search for like Garrett Dillahunt Deadwood. He plays two very different characters. But do you remember the nature of his character when he was Hearst's guy? Like how he got his kicks?
Yeah, I sure do.
I mean, that was really hard to watch, but it was.
Oh
also,
my gosh, look at the makeup on him compared to later.
I know he's. Do you remember his character now?
Yes, I do. One? I do. Yeah. I miss that show. Are they ever going to do that miniseries?
I don't know. I still watch it sometimes. I mean, it's a benefit of having it on HBO.
I heard they were going to do a miniseries of it.
Tie it all up. And you were making fun of me like months ago when you're like, no, this time it's really going to happen. I was like, I'm going to be all Tim Goodman here. I'll believe it when I see it on my TV.
Yeah.
Okay, let me cut this up and I will do the show notes. That was fun.
All righty.
And thanks, buddy. Thanks, man. Thanks very much for accommodating.
Of course. No, this is better for me. It's so much better for me. Let's keep doing it.
I got to go to the Apple store. I got a replacement phone for my wife.
Oh, yeah?
I couldn't activate it because it's already got somebody's iCloud association. Yeah. I think they didn't wipe it. You know, that whenever you take your phone in, the first thing they're like, we can't do anything with this till you turn off Find My Phone.
Yeah.
It's always like the first thing that they tell you. And so either A, they didn't do that with this, like probably what they call a near new phone.
Oh yeah.
So it's not a new phone. It's a near new phone, but like, it's got somebody's that's like p.willecho@icloud.com. And I was like, we don't have any p.willecho in our house. Like, okay, bring it in when make an appointment. And that's, so this is the only time I can get in there is today. So thank you for accommodating.
Well,
that.
I mean,
man's going to do, et cetera, et cetera.
Your loss was my gain. I loved it. Yes. This is the best time ever.
Best show we've ever done.
Best show we've done. Best show since episode 7. Best time to do a show.
Well, if anybody's at Stonestown at 12:20, come by and say hi at the Apple store.
All right. Well, good luck. I hope we get it straightened out there.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.